The big post-election question in Washington is, how will the divided government, with the Congress being controlled by Republicans and the White House being controlled by a Democrat, move forward and avoid gridlock? The results of the election might mean something different for agencies than the results mean for political pundits. Tom Shoup is editor-in-chief at Government Executive Magazine and here to talk about what comes next. And I have to start by saying, Tom, that I'm mad at you for the piece that you pointed my attention to. It's headlined, "Actually, the elections were about making government work." And the reason that I'm mad at you is because you, first of all, you wrote the piece that I was going to sit down and write this weekend for federalnewsradio.com. And to make it even worse, you wrote it better than I could have written it. So that's why I'm mad at you this afternoon.
I think you're probably right on one count.
the bottom line, though, is this is a topic that you and I have discussed before, both on the air and off the air. And that is the mood of the electorate was wrapped around something that I think was something that a lot of people in the punditry class missed. And that was the competence of government, and not just the competence of Washington, of Congress. I mean, certainly what went on at VA and some of the other federal agency issues are part of that. To some degree, that might be a little bit politics. But overall, the idea of the fact that people want the government to work efficiently and effectively was what was at stake here, was what was in question here. And that's why I think we saw more of a let's throw out people that are in there now just because they're in there now than we've seen at any time that I can remember, at least a whole bunch of high profile ones.
Yeah. And I think that's right. I didn't think this would really happen, but I think it did, that competence of government really became an issue, and people tended to vote on the basis of, we want to see you guys get things done. And what's even more interesting is I think people have been saying that for a couple of elections, maybe not quite as loudly, but now everybody seems to be listening. And the people who did listen to that and who were short on rhetoric about cutting government down to size and shutting things down if we had to, you know, and long on rhetoric about we're going to fix things and make things work, they were the ones who were successful. And now it's just a matter of seeing whether they'll actually be able to get that done.
I have a theory about where that came from, too. And my theory is, I think it came, at least partly, from the government shutdown. I think it came from the concept that when the shutdown happened for those 16 days or whatever it was, it's blurred in my mind already, even though it was just a little over a year ago. I think that people realized, hey, I forgot, or I didn't realize, or I didn't understand to what level the federal government does fill in the blank, whatever thing touches their lives. And I like that. And I want that to continue. And I want that to work well. And I want that to be done right. And if you are either a Democrat or a Republican and you're standing in the way of that happening, then I don't like you anymore, even if I've liked you enough to vote for you historically for however long that happened to be. That's where I think possibly part of this sentiment comes from. Does that make sense to you, Tom?
Yeah, I think there's definitely an element of that people looked at the shutdown and thought, first of all, that they saw things grind to a halt that they really cared about, although that's less of a factor than it's been in the past because so much stays open now. But I also think they looked at it and thought, this is incompetence on a grand scale. This is a joke that we can't even keep things running. We can't even keep the government open. So I think that was definitely a big factor. And in addition to that, I think that this string of scandals that has occurred from the VA to the IRS to healthcare.gov, I think those are starting to add up. I think people are seeing what they have long seen as, you know, basically incompetence on the part of politicians is now spilling over into ineffectiveness on the part of federal agencies themselves, and that has more long-term impact on the people who work for government, because I think that's a very serious issue, and I think it feeds into that whole notion that, hey, things are just not being run as well as they need to be run, and we should fix this.
And I'm not sure it's limited only to government, Tom. I mean, the sentiment seemed to, in my mind, to start in 2008 and 2009 with the financial crisis, when people said, wait a minute, these people on Wall Street are supposed to be experts in how to run a housing market or how to run a this or that aspect of the economy of the United States. And turns out they're not so smart after all, because they did a whole bunch of stupid things that caused the thing to crash. And all of these other areas where people believe that incompetence is impacting the ability of them to live their own lives the way they want to, you can't go to Wall Street and fire Jamie Dimon, much as a lot of people would like to. But you can go vote against somebody, or you can go vote in such a way as to send a message to somebody that you don't like what they're doing. And I wonder if a lot of people looked at their ballots and said, well, here's a chance for me to fire somebody. I can't fire all these other people, but I can fire this guy or this woman.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think that they really wanted to fire anybody who was associated with President Obama. There was that huge element there, too, of just a repudiation of his policies and anybody that's associated with them. So I think that's right, that there is that sort of, I just want to get people, I want to get rid of the people who don't seem to be getting things done. And that's the sort of interesting thing here, is the standard does appear to be getting things done, making things happen, making government work effectively. And that's different than in the Tea Party days, when the Republicans really seemed to stand for slash, slash, slash government, cut spending, cut everything down to size. And there is just a lot less of that kind of rhetoric and an acknowledgement on the part of Republicans that they lost in the shutdown scenario.
Yeah.
Any way you slice it, they came out looking like the losers. And it was really striking the way they went out. You know, Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan have gone out of their way over the past week to say, we're not going to have any shutdowns. We're not going to repeat that scenario.
You quote Congressman Ryan through the Washington Post in your piece. Those tactics during the shutdown didn't work. If we're going to win, it's going to be because of ideas. We've got to build that movement and have a governing temperament. I mean, that's every pundit, every member, especially in Republican leadership on either side of the Hill, has said, you hear that word, I've heard it this week 1,000 times, governing, 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 governing. Somehow it finally got hammered into their heads that people expect them to be in charge and people expect them to execute the offices that they've been put into.
Yeah, that's right. And I think that when politicians say governing, they mean something a little different than people who work in government often think when they hear the word governing. I think they tend to think of it as effectively administering public policy. Mm-hmm. And when politicians talk about governing, and when people in general talk about governing, they mean having the political process function effectively, passing budgets in a timely manner, and agreeing on how to fund and operate agencies without having to shut things down. So there is that something of a disconnect there. And of course, there's still a huge political gulf. It's not as though both sides are going to say, okay, now we'll just all hold hands and agree on things. So it's by no means going to be easy to have an effective process of governing. But I think the Republicans have made it clear that they understand that if they don't make progress and if they don't show that they can run things, they're going to have no chance of winning the presidency again.
Tom Shoups, editor-in-chief of Government Executive Magazine. I might only argue with you on one minute point there, Tom. And I'm not sure that there's really a disconnect between those two things. I think they're kind of linked together. The idea that the politicians think of governing as running stuff, as wielding power, and that the executive branch folks, especially the careers, think of governing as managing stuff and accomplishing the mission, they're kind of interdependent. I mean, especially because of the way we do the budget process in this country.
Yeah, they really are. And I think there is some recognition of that. You had McConnell and Boehner coming out this week and saying among their priorities is fixing an antiquated bureaucracy that isn't up to the challenges of the 21st century. I think you'd probably find a lot of broad agreement with that sentiment. The interesting thing there is fixing that requires long, hard, thankless work. Like going in there and saying, let's get rid of antiquated personnel and procurement rules and procedures. That stuff is not fun. It takes time, and there is not going to be any political payoff for it. So it'll be interesting to see if they actually are committed to fixing those kinds of things, because, you know, the best you get out of that is the absence of a VA scandal, and it's hard for to get anybody to pat you on the back for that.
Well, and it also is going to require something that Republicans don't want to give agencies right now, and that's money. Look at the Internal Revenue Service. I think Commissioner Koskinen has made a pretty good case that a lot of the problems separate out the email thing. That's different, but it touches this issue a little bit. He, I think, has made a pretty eloquent case that resources or a lack of resources has caused and perpetuates some of the information technology problems inside that agency that hold the agency back from, number one, collecting as much money as they possibly could, not from people who shouldn't have to pay it, but from people who should have to pay it, and also from being able to provide services to taxpayers who are trying to pay their taxes on time and who are asking questions like trying to call centers or looking for information on the internet. That's going to require a tremendous cash infusion to get that back even close to the level that the commissioner has made the case that he needs. And I don't get a sense that there's anything that's happened in this election that will make anybody go, oh, you know what, for the sake of good government, we should go ahead and increase IRS funding by X percent. I can't imagine that that's something that we'll see anytime in the near future.
No, probably not. And in fact, for the next year or so, things will be fine on a fiscal front because of the two-year budget agreement. But then the sequester looms again, and that's going to make it very difficult to do anything in the way of investments. And unless there's some modification of it, it's going to cause, you know, some serious cuts again in spending. And it's hard to imagine that they'll even that Republicans or Democrats will allow that to go through in the Defense Department with everything that they've got to deal with now. And so it's going to be a big question there as to, are they going to just roll back the sequester, or are they going to modify it, or are they going to provide money for defense but take it away from civilian agencies? That's going to be a real big issue to follow.
And even in a Senate with 54 Republicans, I have a hard time seeing how you get to 60 for a budget deal that rolls back sequester for the Defense Department but doesn't for the civilian agencies. Right, Tom?
Yeah, I think that is a tough, it's going to be tough to get any kind of agreement on that. But it's possible. We're in a different era now, and it may be that they just throw out the old agreement and craft a new one that has, that maybe doesn't have the full effects of the sequester, but does trim some spending, you know, across, particularly across civilian agencies, which I just don't think they can expect to have a huge influx of spending, whether or not it's needed to solve certain of these problems. I think we're in an era where they're going to have to figure out how to be creative about their spending.
One of the topics that I kept hearing pundits talking about throughout this week, Tom, was what incentive does President Obama have to negotiate with Congress, and a lot of back and forth about that. It seems to me that that's kind of a moot point. The two most important people negotiating in Washington right now, it seems to me, will be the Speaker and the Majority Leader in the new Senate, Senator McConnell, because essentially it will be really the only influence I would think that the president or the administration would have in that dialogue is to decide whether he's going to veto it or not, whatever it is they decide to send him. The issue is, can those two leaders get their chambers together enough to start sending the president a bunch of bills? We certainly didn't see that in 2006 when the Democrats controlled House and Senate, and President Bush was in office. And I don't recall that we saw a whole lot of it in 1995. Of course, we wound up with a shutdown when Senator Dole ran the Senate and Speaker Gingrich ran the House, and we had President Clinton, a Democrat, in office.
Yeah, I think that it, you know, the negotiations, for the most part, are going to have to take place on the Hill before the president even gets involved. I also would say that I'm not sure he doesn't have an incentive to negotiate with Republicans in Congress, because he's got a legacy to think about. And just riding it out two more years, fighting it out with the GOP and not getting anything done is not going to do much for him either. And if he picks his battles, he can end up, you know, with some legislative accomplishments. There's some precedent for that going back to the Clinton years when they really got some things done, like welfare reform. So, you know, I think he's incentivized to, you know, have his, to show leadership and preserve his legacy and not just ride this out looking like he just is going to go down fighting.